Today on Real Radio.
Yes, he came as baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, to be Savior of the world. We all know that. But the Bible also says that there is a time coming when he will come not as a baby, born in Bethlehem, right? He will come as a king out of heaven to earth. And it's going to be a horrific moment. That's called the second coming.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. Chapter 19 records another of the Messiah's parables, this one having to do with business and economics. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to break it all down for us in a presentation called How's Your Business?
How's your business? It's not a joke. I'm actually asking you a question. How's your business? You might say, well, Pastor Jack, it's horrible. We're not going to be exactly talking about business, exactly. But then maybe we are. What kind of business are we involved in? Jesus is going to give us some instruction. You know that he's very near to Jerusalem, as we shall see here in a moment. And he's going to give us a parable, yet another parable about the priorities of our lives and where we are. I am not going to ask for a show of hands this morning, because maybe all of you would raise your hands, but we would ask today, maybe Jesus would ask today, how many of us are Christians and what does it mean? And one of those things would be that it would be noticeable by our business. I'm not talking about running a company exactly. I'm talking about the business of our lives and what is going on in our world. I don't mean our world at large. I mean the world that you and I live in. That sphere of influence and that place where you exist, and for what purpose do you exist? It's very important. So look with me, chapter 19, we pick it up, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, the teachings from last week, he spoke another parable. Why? Because, number one, he was near Jerusalem, and because, number two, they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, verse 12, he said, a certain nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas. Some of your Bibles say 10 pounds. Doesn't matter. We'll explain in a moment. And he said this to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And then came the first man, and he said, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas, or 10 pounds, 10 pounds earned. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little. I have authority, or you have authority then over 10 cities. And the second man came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise, he said, you also have the responsibility or the custody of 5 cities. Verse 20, then another man came, listen carefully, church, and he said, Master, here is your mina, here's your pound, here's your dollar, as it were, which I have put away in a handkerchief, wrapped it up, sealed it. For I feared you, because you are an austere man, hard, difficult man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man. That is, the word means you believed in your heart that I was an austere man. That's what you thought of me. collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I do not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him, give it to him who has 10. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. That is, the other guy's already got 10. Verse 26, for I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, what he does have will be taken away. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Wow. What's he talking about? By the way, take note, Bible students, you might want to write it down. Don't make a mistake, and there's a very deliberate reason for this parable. You heard a moment ago how the man said, I knew that you are an austere man. You're difficult. You're hard. You're unforgiving. You're very, very mean. And Jesus in the parable says, out of your own mouth, you're judged. You have said what you believe. Don't make the mistake that the parable is announcing the very nature of how Christ is. Not now. Yes, he came as baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, to be Savior of the world. We all know that. But the Bible also says that there is a time coming when he will come not as a baby, born in Bethlehem, right? He will come as a king out of heaven to earth. And it's going to be a horrific moment. That's called the second coming. But make no mistake about it. This parable is unlike any other parable that Jesus has ever given before. And I'm not going to give you the details because it's too big to read. Look it up later. It's simply this. Jesus is speaking to the people regarding an actual event that took place in the year 4 AD. King Herod died. He was appointed king over the area of Judea. When he died, he had descendants, and there was a big argument about who will take the kingdom. And in that great argument, one of those who were promised the kingdom of Herod went to Rome to argue with Caesar that he should not only receive the kingdom as promised to him, but he should be declared king. Herod gave him the kingdom. I should say Caesar gave the descendant the kingdom, but did not ordain him as king. And in doing that, what the Jews did, the Jews sent 50 representatives of Israel to Rome to argue that they didn't want any king in Jerusalem or Judea. And what happened was, when the news came out, they said, we don't want this man to rule over us. Jesus quotes the story. When those Jews got back, guess what happened to them? They were taken out and they were killed by the powers of the Roman Empire. Jesus uses a real issue of their history that everybody knew about to drive home a point regarding four key things. Number one, the timing of the kingdom. When is it going to come? Number two, that there are responsible parties regarding Christ and his return and Christ and his existence. And by the way, those parties are here today in this sanctuary right now. It's you and I as well. Very important. Number three is that there's an ultimate reason or purpose for our life's existence. And number four, that there's a conclusion, there's a finish line coming to life. So keep those things in mind. How's your business? Jot it down. Point number one is this, found in verses 11 to 15. How's your business? Because number one, God's business is expanding. God's business is expanding. That's the announcement that Jesus is making. And it's expanding, write it down, mark it, beyond this world. It's expanding beyond this world. The Bible tells us in verses 11 to 13 that as he was approaching Jerusalem, he speaks this parable because number one, as the people began to think, if Jesus is coming to Jerusalem with all of the miracles and all the things that he's done, this must be the kingdom coming. Church, listen, in that time period, the Jews believed that the Messiah would come. Hear me out. You got to read your Bible carefully. They believed that the Messiah would come and establish his kingdom. Well, so do we. We believe the same thing. But the timing is important. Your Bible says that they believed that the kingdom would come, what? immediately. They believed that Jesus Christ would come and deliver Israel from the Roman tyranny instantly. They looked at him as a political Messiah, literally. Israel was looking. By the way, Israel is looking today for a political Messiah. They believe that the Messiah will come, and it may very well be two different people. This is in Judaism. One will deliver them from the tyranny of global governments, and one will deliver them as the absolute rabbi. They fail to see, Paul said it, the veils over their eyes. They fail to see that the political deliverer will not first come to deliver Israel politically, but the political deliverer will first come to deliver Israel from its sins. That the Messiah who dies on the cross is the same Messiah that will come and deliver them. It's the same Messiah. It's the same one. Jesus, baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem, is the same Messiah that went to the cross, is the same Messiah that the Bible says will return in the second coming, and it's going to be an awesome and tremendous day. The people didn't want that. They didn't want to talk about that. And I know many Jewish people today, and I'll be in Israel soon, and I'll talk to them again. They want a political Messiah, but they do not want anyone right now to talk to them about any Messiahship regarding their sins. And that's a very serious thing. Jesus is going to speak to them. They knew the prophecies of the book of Daniel, but they selected to read certain parts of the Bible. Always be careful when you read certain parts of the Bible. Read all of the Bible, my friend. Genesis to Revelation, all the way through. In fact, every cult, are you listening? Armand was talking about Islam. Islam is the most successful cult that has ever existed. They got their own book, they got their own beliefs, and the names like, for example, Moses and Jesus that are found in Islam are completely different people that are found in the Bible. Same names, different people. You need to know that. That's why you need to go to that class. Does Islam worship the same God that Christians worship? Absolutely not. They have completely different names. They have completely different attitudes. One's real, one is not. You need to know that. When you begin to read certain parts of the Bible, pick and choose, that's how cults are formed. Very dangerous. And so they thought the kingdom would appear immediately. Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, sees the necessity to teach them about the coming of the Messiah. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this. This is amazing. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is God, note a definite article, who commanded light to shine in darkness, who has shown in the hearts to give to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That is, through Christ, God's knowledge, God's existence, God's very mission is revealed in Christ. But we have this treasure, that is the gospel, that knowledge, in earthen vessels, our bodies. These people, who we are. We've got the message of eternity. That's an awesome thing. And that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The kingdom of God is expanding, yes, spiritually first. They wanted it to come now. And Jesus is speaking about a whole special protocol of the kingdom to come. It's very important you understand that. God's business is expanding. So the question begs, how's your business? I'm going to ask you that throughout the whole morning. How's your business? Well, God's business is expanding. I encourage you to join up with God in His business. Secondly, verse 14, the gospel is expanding in this manner against a tough market. I'm trying to use like business talk right now because of the business ethic thing we're all discussing right now. The gospel advances most prolifically when the world around it is hostile. Have you noticed the hatred? Are you listening to the news? The aggression against Christianity because of the powers that are in place currently over our nation. Everything's starting to come out of the woodwork, and people want Christianity to be silenced. There's a big move right now in Washington, D.C. to silence Christian radio. Isn't that interesting? How does that sit with you? Amazing, isn't it? They know that we won't do anything about it, so they'll push the agenda. The gospel, whenever it's attacked, it's awesome. Remember growing up, those silly little stupid clowns with the sand in the bottom, and they're all funny, and you'd punch them, and they would go back and then pop right back up? That's exactly how the gospel is. You punch it, it comes back. You keep punching it, it comes back more. It's awesome. Whenever there's a world like our world is today that is anti-Christ, anti-Jesus, and trying to erase everything from our culture about Christ, try to find Jesus, by the way, in our public school system. Absolutely amazing. Whenever that world market, as it were, that marketplace of thought and idea comes against Christ, the awesome thing is for Christians is for us not to lose heart. Don't give up. Jesus said in verse 14, but his citizens hated him. Does not the world hate God? And sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. Isn't it interesting that in John 19, verse 15, the chief priest answered during the time of Christ's trial. He says, we have no king but who? Caesar. Remember when they said to the Jews, is this not Jesus your king? They said, no. We have no king but Caesar. They announced it. Don't you think God heard that? Oh, he heard that all right. People are saying that every day. Every human, by the way, every one of us has a king. Here's the funny thing about it. You say, I don't think so, Pastor Jack. You know what? You may be the king of your life. You are the guy. I am the king. Think of that. Every one of us has a king in our lives. No matter who you might be, you may think you're the king. Maybe your wife thinks she's the king. Maybe your husband thinks he's the king. Maybe the king's the company. Maybe the kids are the king. Heck, in my house, the dogs are the king. Whatever they want, they get, you know? Absolutely crazy. The truth is, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But everybody's got a king. Also, look at this. God's business is expanding. It's expanding with guaranteed results. This gospel generates, this Bible generates guaranteed results. Verse 15, and so it was when he returned in the parable. Christ obviously speaking about a future date when he comes, having received the kingdom. That was done, by the way, when he would go to the cross. He then commanded that these his servants, to whom he had been given the money that they might invest, to be called to him. Note it, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The Bible speaks of a day when every non-believer, Revelation chapter 20, every non-believer will stand and give an account. God will judge them. And listen carefully, every believer, non-believer and believer, will stand before Christ. Every believer stands before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will be judged before Jesus Christ for what they did in their bodies in this lifetime for the glory of God. Has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with God rewarding us based upon the opportunities he gave us and what we did with them. That's the believer. The non-believer has no hope because the non-believer, Revelation chapter 20, says that that non-believer stands before God the Father in judgment without Christ as advocate. By the way, you ought to take a pen, highlighter, or pencil right now. This is amazing. You want to know where you live? Oh, you don't live at your address, not really. You want to know where you live? You live between verses 14 and 15 of chapter 19. Where do you live? Luke 19, 14, 15. Between verses 14 and 15 is our lives being lived out right here, right now. Isn't that wild? He's coming back and he's going to take an account. Right now, you and I are to be investing in God's business. And we'll find out what that means. I'm going to give you a string of verses. I'm going to ask you to write them down. The first three are pretty easy. Why is getting out the gospel message, as Jesus will show us in a moment, why is getting the word of God out to the world so important? This morning you may be sitting here and you could care less about people hearing the gospel. That's your business. Just know this. Your business will be audited one day by God himself. Some of you are here are very passionate about getting the word out to the world. That's your business. God will audit that someday. Do we not do that in life? Have you had your taxes done yet? I had my taxes done on Thursday night. We had an appointment at 8 o'clock and we left at 10:30. That's how exciting my tax appointment was. And What's the goal when you have your taxes done? Don't you want to be squeaky clean so you're never audited? Or if you are audited, that you come out of it squeaky clean? There's going to be an audit someday. Christ is going to audit our lives. How will we stand? Why is getting out the gospel so important, church? Because listen, it's the way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. Correct? You can say amen if you think that's right on. Number two, it's easy. It's the same verse. It's the truth. We want to get the gospel out to the world because it's the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. Same verse. John 14:6. Same verse again, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Note this, verse number four. We want to get the message out to the world because it's the hope of the world. It's the hope of the world. In 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul the Apostle said that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. There's no other hope. What are you hoping in? AIG? General Motors? What are you hoping in? Your 401? Have you seen the billboard along the freeway? It says 401KO. Knocked out. What are you saving for? Where's your money? The Bible says, watch out about money. You put your trust in money, it sprouts wings, it says in Proverbs, and flies away. America knows that right now more than anybody, and for that matter, the world. Why is getting out the message of the cross and of Christ so important? Because it changes people. I'm feeling feisty this morning, so hang on to your seats. You want to talk about change? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, not the taking away of it. But we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You want to talk about real change you can believe in? Jesus Christ brings real change. You say, Jack, you're getting awful political. I've just started. You want to talk about change? Listen, you need to vote Jesus Christ into your heart. You need to cast the ballot for Christ. Hope you can believe in. Absolute change, because he changes us. This nation has been, it came, it has been, and it's leaving. Nations come and go, the Bible says. America will not last forever. Don't fool yourself. Where's the Roman Empire? It's gone. Where's the Persian Empire? Gone. But there is a kingdom that will never fade away. In fact, it's a kingdom coming. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible says, God changes us by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3:36 says, it's our future. He who believes in the Son, that is the Son of God, has everlasting life. That word, you always read your Bible carefully, because the word in the Greek says this, he who believes in the Son possesses in his own bosom, in his own hands, eternal life. Don't you love that?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called How's Your Business? It's a look at one of the Messiah's parables as recorded in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 19, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, earlier this week, we presented Dr. Lawrence White, a friend of Pastor Jack's, delivering a pro-life message to the church, including pastors. To hear it once again, visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. If you missed it, please give it a listen. It's called The Sin of Silence by Dr. White. Again, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information, including our mailing address, can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.